Hi, friends. Welcome back to Out of Focus. I'm Shannon Stewart, and I have my husband on the podcast.
But today, it's a little different. I'm interviewing her, and my podcast is In Focus. Okay, so just ignore that sign back there, because I'm going to interview her today because she's got a great story and a lot of exciting things getting ready to happen. And so we want to talk about it a little bit.
So let's go.
Let's do it. Are you excited?
For what? To be interviewed by you?
To be interviewed by me, because I got questions.
I don't know. Sometimes you just go left
field. I got questions, and I don't have answers, and I got you on the hot seat. Well, let's just start off this way. A lot of people know you as Shannon Stewart, the model from season one of America's Next Top Model, but you weren't born a model. What was it like growing up for you in Franklin, Ohio?
I was a happy girl. If you see pictures of me, I am always smiling.
I've seen some of those pictures.
And I don't just smile with my top teeth. I smile with both sets of teeth. I was very happy. I loved to play flashlight tag with the kids in the neighborhood. We had a great group of kids, and we would play at nighttime. I don't even know if the kids today know what flashlight tag is, but and I would jump on my trampoline. I was a glass half full person.
I know you were a happy kid because a few weeks ago I was talking about how to have joy regardless of your circumstances. And you always shared one of the things you didn't like about being tall growing up is you always got put on the back row. And Shannon wanted some front row, right? And so one of your pictures on the back row, it's adorable, but still one of the funniest pictures I've ever seen in my life.
I got my head back.
And the smile was almost covered your whole face, but you were making the best out of being on the back row. What did you love as a little girl? What kind of shaped your heart and got you moving in the direction that you ended up moving in?
I know this may shock you, but I love the camera.
What?
I love to dress up and dazzle. Anytime I could be in front of people, I would.
By the way, just so you know, some of our biggest discussions are taking pictures, doing podcasts, shooting videos. She loves it. I absolutely hate it, but I'm growing in that area. That doesn't surprise me about you.
What's funny, though, is that you speak and you've spoken to thousands of people. You had a mega church at one point, but podcast, I think you think too much about the camera, and I don't even look at the camera. I just look at my guest.
Part of us, I have to be sitting beside you. If I could sit beside a really, really ugly person, I would feel much better about myself. Oh, so when you were little, you were happy. But you also said that it wasn't unusual for you, to, even at that age, to love the camera. And I think you told me at one time you would hang a sheet up and do photo shoots in your parents' house.
When I was a teenager, I did. I would take a sheet. I have no idea where I got the idea from. That was my backdrop. And whoever would take a picture of me in the house, I would pose and I would have my own photo shoot. I played sports, so I was very athletic. My dad had me in all kinds of sports. I even played golf at one point, and I won the tournament because I was the only one in my age group. And the trophy is huge.
Oh, that's hilarious. I don't see you having the patience for golf, so that's kind of funny to know that.
Piano, I tried piano. I was a little bored with that. I wish I would have learned how to play it now. I think the piano is beautiful, but I played.
We had a piano growing up, and my sisters learned it. And
what about your parents?
My parents. My mom played. So she taught my sisters. They took lessons. They wanted me to play. We were a very musical family. We used to sing together. My dad would make us. But
well, you've heard my mom accidentally on the phone. So you know that singing isn't necessarily.
Shannon's mom accidentally hit call one night, and she called us, and she didn't know she had called us. And on the other end where she was having her own worship concert going on. And she kept saying, Mom, Mom, but I mean, she was letting it belt. It was just her and the Holy Spirit having the time of their life.
I know some people may wonder why I didn't hang up, but I just couldn't.
It was too beautiful.
It was so cute.
We were having so much fun. Okay, so that's a nice segue. Tell me a little bit, how did your faith journey begin?
My mom always had us in church. She grew up Catholic. She didn't have a personal relationship with the Lord. And then through a series of circumstances, she started asking herself, there has to be more to life than this. And so she went on a search and she found Jesus and she was blown away by him and his love and redemptive power and who he is as a person, his character. And we were in church on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday. She went to a Bible study. At that age, you don't really have too much fun doing that. I love vacation Bible school, but the Bible study, I was a little bored, but I did have my snacks. So that was fun, being able to eat random things while they were teaching. I would lay under the pews.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Well, I know when I was little, I felt 100% I was actually going to be a cowboy when I grew up. My uncle told me, he was my one of seven kids, but he was the youngest of my mom's siblings. So he was like an older brother. He had told me, we're going to go to Wyoming and be cowboys. And it was set in my mind, we were going to be cowboys. I was devastated when he got married. I'm like, who is this lady? When did you start getting that feeling like, I think I'll be a model when I grow up?
I wanted to become a model when I was probably 5 years old. I saw a makeup commercial and I was mesmerized. I envisioned myself as that girl. It was so beautiful and classy, and I was drawn into the TV. And I remember thinking, I wonder if that could be me one day. I didn't necessarily believe it at the time, but there was definitely a seed planted in my heart thinking, maybe.
I'm just curious, how old were you when you got your first modeling audition or modeling job, when you actually thought, oh, this could be a real thing?
I signed with a local modeling agency. And so my first...
How old were you?
I want to say like 10, 11, 12. I modeled at the mall, at the local mall.
Wow.
I still have a picture. My bangs were 4 inches high. It was hilarious. And then from there, I had a growth spurt when I was in seventh grade. In elementary, sixth grade especially, I was chunky. I would not wear jeans. I thought they were uncomfortable because my rolls would go over the top of my jeans, and I didn't like that. So my favorite thing to wear were stirrup pants. And they had the little things on the bottom of your foot where they stayed in place. And I remember my sister asking me, you're not going to wear these when you go to junior high, are you? And I said, no, when it comes to that point, I will wear jeans. And sure enough, I wore jeans in junior high. But that growth spurt sparked something in me and gave me hope that modeling could be a possibility. Because now I found myself thin and tall. And in order to keep that, I did have an eating disorder that eventually came about because I was trying to protect this new figure. And then I saw the girls on the runways. They were super thin and lean and had these beautiful long legs, and I wanted to be them. And I also had some body dysmorphia because when I looked in the mirror, I didn't see myself the way I really looked. I had a distorted view.
Now, didn't you win a contest like with 17?
My first big break, I would say, was a model search I went to. I sold subs in our neighborhood to raise money for the hotel room that we had to stay the night and for the entry fee. And I remember going around and I was hauling it because I wanted to sell these subs. I wanted to go to this model search because the possibility of all these agencies being flown in to this location and you get to be exposed to them. I didn't know what was going to happen and I was excited. And I think I got a call back from seven agencies, a second call back. And one I really did pursue was Elite Model Management in Chicago. They wanted me to come in the summers. I was playing sports. And the thought of leaving my parents and home to travel there by myself and stay in the model's apartment didn't really excite me. It actually caused me a lot of fear. And I had some anxiety at the thought of that. Yeah. I was young. Actually, when you model, some start really young. I remember being in New York and they fly over here at 16.
Wow.
So I'm thankful though that I didn't pursue it then because I wasn't strong enough to handle the business because the business can be very dark and they always want you to go a little farther than what you want to go and mold you and make you into who they want. And so if you don't know who you are, you will be eaten alive. And that was definitely God's protection on me. My mom was praying. My mom didn't want me to go into the business. She saw it as dark and she didn't want that for me. And what's funny is that when I entered to be on America's Next Top Model, that was the big thing. American Idol was really big at the time, all over. And I can't sing. I can try to sing. I have my own concerts sometimes.
But oh, you can sing.
I don't think you want to hear me. And I remember telling my dad, I hope they come up with a modeling show like American Idol because I will enter it. And growing up, he would save newspaper articles. He got up really early in the morning. He didn't sleep well. And any articles that he thought would interest us, he would write our name on them and circle them. So I was in college at the time, enrolled at Wright State University. And I remember getting up to eat my breakfast, ate my bowl of cereal. And I look over and it had Shannon on it and it was covered in stars. And I see a picture of Tyra, and she was creating a show for models called America's Next Top Model. My mouth dropped. I put down my bowl of cereal, and I'm reading it. I read it, I think, two or three times. Then I hear my dad come up the stairs. He goes, Shannon, did you see that newspaper article on the table? And I said, yes. He was so proud because he knew as soon as I got home from school, I was going to apply to be on the show. And sure enough, I did.
Now, you mentioned your mom. She was nervous about modeling because of kind of the dark side of modeling. How did your faith help you navigate through those kinds of situations?
I have to tell you a story about my mom. This is in my book I'm writing, a redemptive memoir called Out of Focus, the same as my podcast. But my mom was not thrilled that I wanted to be a model. My dad, he loved sports, but he wanted to encourage us to pursue whatever it was and to not live our life with regrets. But my mom was very cautious about the modeling industry. And before I got the call that I had made it to the semifinals in California, we went to the tanning bed. Obviously, we did not know what tanning beds were back then. We were going to Hawaii to celebrate my parents' 25th anniversary. And we wanted to get a little bit of color so we wouldn't get burnt. I have fair skin. She does. And so while she was in the tanning bed, while I was waiting on this call that I was told that I would be getting from the people from Top Model, I had no idea if I was going to make it or not. This is just God's timing. She was in the tanning bed. And while she was praying, God said, give her to me. She's mine. And from that point on, she said, okay, Lord, she's yours. And I will support her in modeling as long as she keeps it clean. Mm-hmm. So we get home that night and they said to have someone filming us because they wanted it captured. And sure enough, I had made it to the semifinals in California. So my faith played a very, very important role for me in modeling. I remember getting asked, well, why are you in modeling in the first place? You're a Christian, like kind of doesn't go hand in hand. God places his children in all types of fields and industries and businesses and all different kinds of things mm-hmm. because he wants us to be a light for him and to show them, hey, there's something different about this person. What is it? They're a hard worker. They're on time. They speak with grace. They don't lose their cool. They are gracious. They help other people. What is it? And so he sends us to shine his light. And he placed me in modeling to do just that. And I really did try my best to honor and obey him. And before I even entered the modeling world, he put non-negotiables on my heart. One was I wasn't going to pose nude.
I was going to ask you, was there ever a particular time, probably more than one, but one comes to mind that your values were actually really tested? And you knew it could affect you one way or the other as far as maybe sending your career straight up in the air, like just taking off like a rocket, or there might be some consequences, but you had to make one of those hard choices.
Top Model, I was face to face with my dream. From that time, I thought this was going to be my big break. If I win this, it's going to catapult my career. And winning Revlon, you already knew since I was 5 years old, that was my dream. And you win a contract with Revlon on season one. I was so excited. I did an Wonder Bra shoot on season one, and putting that lingerie on, I felt so convicted, but I did the shoot anyway. I felt bad because they flew out this male model, Brad Pinkert, that I had said I wanted to meet. I was so excited in this magazine, these tear sheets I had brought on the show. I didn't have a serious boyfriend at this point, so I really had nothing to talk about and to share with these other girls. So I'm like, I'm going to be really boring. So I remember coming across his magazine pictures and I was like, oh, he said his favorite book's the Bible. This is awesome. And he's appealing. Well, they flew him to Paris for this photo shoot. And I was like, how am I going to do this photo shoot? And I already had this on and I did it anyway. And I denied my conscience. And when I saw it back on TV, I knew I was not to do that again. The Lord gently spanked me after that photo shoot. So a few weeks after that, I found myself in the Buddha bar and they wanted us to do a nude shoot, semi-nude shoot, but we could wear this band and underwear. But in the picture, we would have to appear nude. And that was a non-negotiable for me. And if someone saw that picture, my grandparents, my dad, someone I went to church with, they would think I was nude. And I had no peace doing that photo shoot. That was a time where I had to stand by my convictions, even though I knew it was going to cost me, or it could cost me.
In the moment, I'm sure you had all kinds of emotions, but was there a sense of I'm being brave, or was it a sense of I'm just doing what's necessary?
I think at that point, when I was 18, it was not an option for me. I wasn't going to do it no matter what. Mm-hmm. The Holy Spirit empowered me. Do not do it. Do not do this photo shoot. And so I knew what it could cost me, but I also knew that it was going to be worth it to remain obedient to God. And I knew that He had opened the door for modeling in the first place. America's Next Top Model would have never happened if God did not open that door. I knew that. So when I was filming for the show, I had a great fear of Him closing the door in the future if I didn't do what was honorable in His sight. And so I really did try to obey Him.
So looking back, how do you view that choice?
I'm so thrilled that I didn't sell out. Even hearing Adrienne and what she says she never really got the full prize package. So if I would have done the shoot and not even really got what I thought I was going to get, I would have been devastated. Now, I will say on the All-Star season, when I didn't do the underwear shoot, I felt pretty brave. They were not going to change my viewpoint.
I actually, this is kind of weird. I was traveling, got to a hotel late in the afternoon, had an event that night, and I remember just collapsing on the bed, turning on the TV channel, surfing. And I came across the episode where you were on the All-Stars. I think you were in Greece. And what's interesting, this is what I remember. You guys were supposed to pose in a huge bowl of Greek salad. I'm like, why would they do that? And this was my question. This is how weird I am. I wonder if there's dressing on that salad, because that's just going to be the biggest mess in the world, right? But I remember, I think they wanted you to pose in underwear. And if I remember correctly, I think they took you to a rack of other things, maybe, or tried to show you some things you can wear. Maybe I got that wrong, but you wouldn't compromise on that either.
The underwear on All Stars was different, but I gave the Lord my word. I said, I will not pose in underwear. It was a conviction that God gave me. He gives us different convictions. My mom doesn't drink alcohol. She knows it's not a sin as long as you're not getting drunk, but she doesn't drink it because to her, it would be a sin. And so for me, I knew I was not supposed to pose in underwear. After I watched it, that was something that I just stayed away from my whole entire modeling career, and it paid time and a half. And there were times where I needed the money. So it was almost like God tests our hearts, read the Bible. He wants to know what's in them, not because He doesn't know what we're going to do. He wants us to see what we're going to choose to do also. Mm-hmm. Will you take the money, or will you do what I've told you to do? Will you remain faithful to me? And He knows we're not perfect. He knows we're human and we have a flesh and we have to crucify it daily. But my desire really was to be a light and to honor Him. And with the underwear shoot, I had told them before I went on All Stars, when they asked me what I was up to and they were trying to fill for if they wanted me to join the All Stars cast in the season. And that was one thing I mentioned. I said, I don't shoot in underwear anymore. I'm still modeling. In the very first episode on All Stars, they wanted to turn me into a Victoria's Secret angel. And so it was another debate I'm having. And I get that some people didn't understand because the size of the bathing suit and the underwear might be the same, but I told them I wasn't going to pose in underwear. And let's say I did, and they gave me the word trustworthy on the show, they would have said, you're a liar. And I would have looked like a fool. But more than that, I knew the conviction God had placed on my heart. Underwear, you think bedroom, sexual, sensual. And my dad, my uncle, don't see me in my underwear. I grew up and I was a swimmer. I was on the swim team. So they've seen me in a bathing suit. I go to the beach and I swim. I view that as athletic. And I would like to preface this by saying some of the bathing suits I've wore in the past, I would not wear today. God does a work in our heart. He changes us. He molds us. He sanctifies us. We're in the sanctification process where we're becoming more and more like His Son. So not every bathing suit I would wear, but to me, it's a totally different thing. In Greece, when they said that it was going to be another underwear photo shoot, my heart dropped. I was like, you have got to be kidding me. The second one, out of all the things we could be doing in Greece, wearing beautiful gowns or anything, we're going to be posing in a Greek salad bowl.
I do remember
in
that.
Underwear. What's funny is that they said I could wear anything on the racks. Find something, you can wear it. So Lisa, she goes, Shannon, I just found a bathing suit. And I was like, what? And they end up changing their mind and they said, you're not going to be able to wear that. So I did not do the photo shoot.
Now, February 16th, big deal. What's happening on February 16th?
There is going to be a Netflix documentary, docuseries. I don't know what they're calling it. It's going to be 3 episodes. And I filmed it about a year ago in New York City. Yeah. You came with me.
I think it was February a year ago. Yep.
It came out of the blue. I actually got asked to do another documentary that I was in the process of taking steps to do it and to film it. And there was a slight delay, and I can now see God's hand in that because Netflix entered the picture, and I got an email from one of the producers. She's so sweet. It was so nice talking to her. I love the concept. It's our perspective. They actually ask questions from when I was little, and then they ask questions about Top Model and what was my life like afterwards and where am I at today. So it's giving more of a full picture instead of just Top Model. I'm really hoping that there's a balance. It's not all positive. There was some trauma to it, but it was definitely something that was out of the blue. Netflix, they could have asked a lot of other girls, and they asked me, and I thought that was a great honor. I'm hoping that God gets glory out of my story. Maybe some people that were skeptical or didn't understand my perspective or my opinion on things, they might see, I don't necessarily agree with her, but I can respect that. And I'm hoping that the Lord reveals things that have been hidden for 20-some years, because on season 1, there was some footage that was manipulated and edited to fit their narrative. And I'm hoping that he brings the truth to light, and we'll see what happens.
I know that day you filmed.
I know. I felt so bad because I went on the roof. They wanted to do some, what kind of shots? B-roll shots. And we went straight downstairs and we went to the room where we were going to be filming. And I didn't have my phone. I left it in the makeup room. And you had been calling me, I guess, because we filmed straight.
Well, I did Uber over to the studio and knock on the door and go to the coffee shop around the corner for 3 hours and came back and knocked. And finally I gave up. But that's okay. I wanted to see you in that environment. I thought it would be cool to be able to just catch a glimpse.
I got to wear pink.
I know you were. You were very pink that day. I do remember, though, when you came back to the hotel, you were really excited because you got to share some aspects of what God has done in your life since that. And I think one of the producers came up and commended you for your faith. So I don't have faith like that, but I really commend you for your faith. But
he said it was inspiring. That brought tears to my eyes.
20 years after being on the show, right? What kind of emotion did that stir up when you found out that you had been invited to be on this documentary? Was it dread? Was it bad memories? What were you feeling?
There was excitement first. Wow, how could the Lord use this? What is this open door? Is it from him? Is it not? And then I would say there was a slight hesitation just because of what I went through on Top Model with both seasons, actually. I understand that, hey, want to make a show, but they are dealing with people's real lives. And you do want to make sure that things are edited in the context of what really happened and not to twist things or distort things or chop up what someone says just to fit what you want to air. And they definitely did that to me on All Stars. I looked like I did not know why I did not want to pose in underwear, but to me it was very clear. So there was a little nervousness. And even today, I have no idea how they're going to piece and put all of this together. I love the producers. I met a few. They are super sweet. They've been so kind. So I'm very hopeful. At the end of the day, you really don't know how they're going to do this. But it's in God's hands.
I'm sure there's a lot of ladies listening today. What would you say to women who feel pressure, whatever their career is, to be successful, to be chosen, and they find themselves in that situation where it would be so tempting to compromise because it would probably lead to success, but then you might have to live with the remorse of making that kind of decision. What kind of encouragement would you give to them?
God's already chosen each one of us. And it's better to be chosen by him and to know our worth and our identity and know who we are in Jesus Christ than to be chosen by the world. They can't save our souls. We can be popular one minute, forgotten the next.
Yeah,
after season one, I had people wanting my autograph. And I remember telling them, this isn't going to be worth anything. But they wanted it. Taking pictures with me on the streets. I was getting letters and cards and all these different things. And then after a few years, you're not on top anymore. So if you find your worth or your identity in your job or in who you know, how much money is in your bank account, what you drive, then it's always going to be shifting. Because God had me as a model, but then he asked me to be a nanny. And so who was I then? I'm really a daughter of the Most High God. And knowing who I am in him now is priceless, because I don't have to chase platforms. Applause is not my fuel anymore. A magazine cover doesn't make me more worthy. And it's freeing, truly, to know that I am fully known by him. He knows the worst about me. He knows my thoughts from afar. He knows what I'm going to do before I even do it. And yet he still loves me so lavishly and so abundantly. I will never get over his love for his children. He loves us so very much that he was willing to take our place on the cross. And even after I blew up my world, and you would think he is holy, righteous, perfect, blameless, spotless, that out of all the people that could condemn me or turn their back on me, he didn't. He knelt down in the dust of my own ashes and rubble. He lifted my head, even though I was the guilty one. And he said, child, come home. Because with his power, he can redeem even our worst chapters. And he can rewrite our story. And he can give us beauty from ashes and give us something more glorious than we could have ever dreamed or ever hoped for. Because that's who he is. Read the Bible. He uses imperfect people to do extraordinary things, because guess what? He gets the glory. And I want the wanderers, the prodigals, the ones who have crippling shame to know Jesus despised their shame. And even with social media today, you'll get a lot of people that will try to shame you in the comments. You're this. You've done this. And they'll even use spiritual language or use verses to try to shame you, unfortunately. But that's not who we are. We're not defined by our worst chapters. And I'm not defined by my greatest achievements. I'm defined by my creator and who he says I am. And even if my podcast does nothing, if I never have a book that's published, if I never do anything with the children's ministry at church or whatever it might be, it's okay. My worth doesn't go up or go down. I just want the listeners and the viewers to know that.
If you could go back and talk to 12-year-old or 15-year-old Shannon, what advice would you give her?
Keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. And it kind of goes off what I just said, that your identity is not in being in New York Fashion Week or being in a magazine or standing in front of millions, being willing to say no on national TV. That doesn't define you. You're defined because you're a daughter of the King. And I wish I could go back to her in a way too, because I kind of had a legalistic mindset. I heard the wrath of God more than I heard the grace of God. And I think there has to be a balance. There is a cost to sin. There's consequences. God hates sin. It makes a separation between us and the Father. But I didn't get to hear much about his grace. So there was something in me that wanted to obey because I was afraid of getting on his bad side or disobeying him. I didn't want him to come out with a whip and get me back into line. And I wish I would have had more of a balance. I don't ever want to abuse his grace. His grace is precious and priceless, and we don't deserve it, but he gives it to us anyway.
So this Netflix show is going to come out. You're going to be jacked up. I don't know what I'm going to do with you, but we'll
somebody asked me if I'm going to have a viewing party. I'm like, I might need to watch this by myself or just with you, because you just don't know. But no, I'm excited.
Yeah, you have no idea how they're going to present things. What are you hoping people take away from this series, this documentary?
I hope everybody's able to share their stories and what went on behind the scenes that the viewers have no idea about. You have to understand, we are being filmed 24/7. And they have a lot of footage, and they're fitting it into an hour a week for several weeks. That's a lot that they have to condense and put into a show. And they're making a show, even though it is a reality competition. Not everything's necessarily reality. I do think different things are set up for reactions and for different
in shock moments.
Yeah, like even on season one, they made it the Christians versus the pagans. And I didn't have a problem with anybody.
Yeah. Well, it's good drama. Let me ask you a question. I remember one time, maybe you just having one of those days. We all have one of those days. But you were saying, no, I played on an AAU basketball team as a teenager and came in second nationally. I was on America's Next Top Model, came in second. I was in Miss Ohio and came in second. Although you did get Miss Congeniality. And you were just having one of those moments. We all have those moments. What could have been, right? A lot of people would say, wow, you almost really made it, right? But looking back now, how would you define success?
Success is doing what is pleasing to God, being obedient to Him, even if it costs you, walking away, even if it may not give you the promotion, doing what is honorable to Him. And I wanted those things because I really thought that it was going to give me a platform where I could be even more a voice for Jesus. And it wasn't necessarily all selfish. Yes, I wanted to win Miss Ohio, and then I wanted to be on Miss USA. That was a dream of mine. I love stages. I love being in front of cameras. But I really did want to be a role model. I wanted to raise the standard. I wanted women to know their worth and their value, that it wasn't in what they looked like. It wasn't in how pretty they were or what they did, that their worth and their value comes from Jesus.
You know, a young girl reached out to you this week and she's thinking about getting into modeling. What advice did you share with her?
I share with her to have non-negotiables before she entered the modeling industry, because there's always going to be someone that's going to try to get you to do something you don't want to do. If you're wearing bathing suits at the time, why don't you just wear this underwear? It's basically just the same. And then once you do the underwear, they want you to go topless. And once you go topless, they want you to pose nude. When I think I was 18 or so, I flew to New York with my parents, and I had another photo shoot with another lady. She was stunning. And I remember her telling my mom that she's now doing things she never imagined she would do. And my mom was just sitting there. I know she was hoping that wouldn't be me, that I would lose myself in an industry that would use me for their time being and then just get rid of me. Yeah. They just see you as a dollar sign. And you hear all the sexual abuse claims now, even with the guy from Abercrombie, Michael Jeffries, and the things that models got asked to do from photographers. Hey, I'll give you the magazine cover if you'll do this. I'm not going to say what this is, but you guys can figure that out. Or go to the parties. If you go to these parties, you can meet clients, you can meet people, and you can get these connections. And then there's drugs there, alcohol there. And I really did try to stay away from all that. I remember in New York, they sent a limo to our models apartment probably once a week. And they would always call us to ask us to go out because they wanted the models in these clubs because they wanted to attract more people. And I never went, not once. And I remember him asking me on the phone, he says, I've never met anybody like you. He goes, why have you never gone out with us one time? And I said, I didn't come to New York City to be a party girl. I came to New York City because I wanted to be a supermodel. And I said, my faith is the most important to me, even over becoming a supermodel. And he said, wow, really? I said, yeah. He says, well, what do you do all night? I said, I read my Bible. I write my journal. I talk to my mom and I pray. He says, wow, really? I said, yeah. He goes,
Well, let me ask you this. The stage you are in life, what does it mean to you to be not only fully known by God, but fully loved by God?
Life-changing. To be fully known, I think I briefly mentioned this before. He knows everything about me. He knows my flaws. He knows my thoughts. He knows my weaknesses. He knows my strengths. He knows everything. And His incredible love for me. Mercy is God not giving me what I deserve. And His grace is giving me what I don't deserve. And I've lived His grace. I cannot believe the life that I'm living right now, especially after my fall. And I wasn't even trying to abuse His grace at the time. I didn't care about His grace. I was that blind, that dark. I don't even know if some of the disappointments in my life, like what does obedience get you? I thought obedience would make me immune in a way, or hey, if I obey, you're going to do this. Like He's a vending machine. He's not a vending machine. He's not a genie in a bottle. He knows what's best. And we obey because we know that obedience ultimately leads to blessing. I think sometimes I thought it was going to lead to jobs or more open doors or different things. And I was greatly discouraged and crushed and disillusioned by God, but I needed to take those disappointments and give them back to him because he knows what he's doing. And just to see him meet me in the mess that I had made of my life and to pick me up. And he didn't ask me to clean myself up off first. He just said, come back, come home. I love the prodigal story where the father is waiting for the son to return patiently and expectantly. And when he sees him from far off, he runs. And you said in Jewish culture, the men don't run. That's what Jesus does because he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. And repentance isn't just saying, I'm sorry. There was one point where I felt sorry, but I wasn't truly sorry because I can still continue down the path. It's doing a 180. And when we do that, he's like, okay, we become desperate for him. Yeah. And the table was never set for the perfect. It was set for the hungry. And faith has not given me a perfect life. It's given me a redeemed one. And I want to tell the world about his redeeming love.
We both talked about this before. Consequences are consequences. Damage is damage. Some you can fix, some you can't. But God's faithful. And it is amazing how he can take a pile of ashes and say, okay, I got some value here. I'm going to do something with it. I would never encourage anybody to blow it.
No.
So they can experience God's grace. But I will say this, you really understand it when you blow it.
Yeah, because you feel like he should reject you, condemn you, shame you. He doesn't do any of those things.
I remember doing that for myself.
Yes.
But yeah.
Why aren't you treating me like some of these Christians over here are treating me? You're the perfect one, the holy one. That's what I want the wanderers and the prodigals and the ones that feel like they've messed up too much to come home. They haven't.
You're an intriguing person. You have an incredible story. In fact, they're amazing to me. Sometimes you let slip out. Oh, yeah, when I was in Australia. And you don't brag about that stuff. It's just a part of your story. I'm like, man, you have really had an incredible life.
I feel that way about you. Well, you're with the pygmies and you're in the prisons in Colombia. Where was that?
Medellin, Colombia.
Yeah, it's like, what? You're sleeping out in the, I don't know where you were.
But you are finishing up a book, a memoir. It actually has been picked up by a literary agent. And
which is a miracle.
It's being shopped around with publishers now. What are you hoping to accomplish through that book?
I want God to get great glory from my life. Every open door, every closed door. When they read the book, they'll be able to see where I've traveled to, what I've done, the things that were going on inwardly. I take off the mask. It's very transparent and honest. How I was a girl that stood for my standards on national TV in front of millions and said no, but then I eventually became the girl I said I would never be. Why? I took my eyes off of Jesus. I didn't take the disappointments I had went through and laid them back at the altar. And so I want every chapter to be a stone of remembrance to him because he's been faithful to me throughout my entire life, even when I wasn't faithful to him. I want people to see what he will do for one soul and what he's done in my life and how he's changed me and stretched me. And even my wilderness experiences are in there because you feel abandoned in those moments, like he's forgotten you. Why aren't you answering my prayers? Where are you? You gave him these promises and these words, and he felt so far from me, but he didn't want me to have confidence in how I felt and my feelings because feelings lie. He wanted me to rely on his truth, which is unchanging. He said that he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Was I going to believe that? Or was I going to believe how I felt? He says that he will work all things together for good. Was I going to believe that? Or was I going to go by what I see? And he wants to give us spiritual eyes that we can see the unseen realm because he is working. And stillness doesn't mean that he's not doing anything. He's always working.
Yep.
And I'm super excited about it. I had two books in the works and that was very crushing. The second one, for it to fall flat because of a contract issue with Top Model. But looking back now, that book I would have written however many years ago can't compare to the one that he has written through me now.
I know that you're a very busy person. You host podcasts, you're writing books, you're writing a devotional to go along with your book. Not only that, you work for Be Renewed Church and basically keep that thing running. Fortunately, you have a really easy husband to live with who is very, very low maintenance. So you don't have to put a lot of energy into that. But I want to thank you for taking some time out of your incredibly busy life and schedule to allow me to interview you here in the Out of Focus studio with my new podcast, my one and only podcast,
In Focus.
In Focus. And
which side do you like being on more? Do you like to interview or do you like to be interviewed? Because you're very good at both.
I kind of enjoy this, but I don't have a desire to do it anymore. I feel satisfied. I'm happy. I don't like either side, and you know that, to be honest with you, but I will do it.
We used to be on the radio all the time with that one guy.
Bob Dumas.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe I had my fill of it, and so.
No, you still have something to tell.
That's true, but I like the stage I'm on now, and I'm happy with it.
Well, make sure you guys tune in if you have Netflix.
Oh, yeah.
February 16th. I'm not sure the time. They didn't announce that yet. And I'm not sure if all the episodes will be dropped at once, but.
And pray for me. Pray for me. I may be coming back doing a follow-up podcast.
I'm believing that it's all going to work out.
All things work together for good.
Yes.
Here's the verse. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He'll be faithful to complete it. And one of the things we're learning just studying the book of Philippians is if it happens, God allowed it and God has a purpose. And so you have no idea how God's going to speak and move, what he's going to do. But it has been an honor interviewing you today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
For all of you listening, thank you. And she is going to sign off now. Come on now, do it.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Remember, when life feels out of focus, there is always one who brings clarity. We'll see you next time.
Wait a second. But when life is in focus, don't screw it up. See you
later.